As I said in my introduction to the first reading, the prophet Ezekiel is given a mission by God to serve as watchman to the Hebrew exiles in Babylon, present-day Iraq. He was to warn them of danger resulting from behavior not in accord with the will of God. The Lord warned Ezekiel that if he did not caution people about their wicked ways, Ezekiel himself would be held responsible for their spiritual death. For us, this could mean that if someone we know is engaging in behavior that does damage to themselves or others, and we say nothing, we are co-responsible. It's a very tough teaching. And of course, there's all kinds of examples around us of destructive behavior, behavior that does harm to the individual engaged in the behavior as well as the other people around him or her. So, some obvious examples: when we see someone really hurting themselves through abuse of drugs and alcohol, and we say nothing, we keep it quiet. This is a real problem in a lot of families because they're embarrassed about the addiction, and so they just want to kind of cover it up, not admit it, not talk about it, and not organize an intervention for that person who is going down a slippery slope toward physical as well as spiritual ruin. Well, there's plenty of other examples. You know, we see people who don't respect sexuality, and they abuse other people, not acknowledging, realizing that sexuality is a beautiful gift from God. Sexual expression between people who are in a committed relationship until death, in marriage, not outside of marriage. We see so many lives that have been so wrecked because people did not respect the law of God regarding sexuality. And when we see people dropping out of church, oh, well, you don't want to go to church, big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, where are you going to get the spiritual nourishment, the ongoing contact with the preached word of God, fellowship with the Christian community trying to move toward God? You know, so not that we don't want to get on people's cases, but we want to call out the truth. That's what the Lord told Ezekiel to do. So this Ezekiel reading was chosen, obviously, to prepare for Jesus' teachings in the gospel today about how to deal with correction and discipline in the church. Is the church supposed to act like most societies in dealing with those who cause problems, where the tendency is not to go directly to the individual causing the problem, but to perhaps go over that person's head to the authority figure and tell the authority figure to deal with that person? This avoids confrontation and may appear to be more efficient. Another common reaction to someone that's causing me problem or someone else that I love problems is talk about the person to everybody else, but not talk to the person. What do we call that type of behavior? Gossip. Gossip. Can I see a show of hands of people who occasionally at least engage in gossip? Raise your hand, please. There's some liars back there, or or people in denial. Do you know that there are parishioners here at St. Lucie's that gossip about the priests? Did you know that? And do you know what Father Steve and I do sometimes over while we're having dinner in the rectory? We gossip about you. And we have a lot more material about you than you have about us. So this is often part of the human situation, right? Instead of talking to the person, we talk about the person. Or we seek the authority figure to shape that other person up. Now, such actions occasionally may seem reasonable when you go to an authority figure to try to get the authority figure to do something. But such action has nothing to do with the instructions of Jesus. Listen to his instructions again. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've won over your brother. You see the context here. We're not out there to condemn other people. We're not out there to put another person down. No, we're there to win over the person. Win over the person. The concern of Jesus is reconciliation and healing of relationships. At the same time, you notice that the last verse in that section speaks about what we call excommunication. Excommunication, where a person is excluded from the community of the church, excluded perhaps from the family, excluded from a local community. And that's when Jesus says, if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. That's what we mean by excommunication. It means someone who is obstinate, refuses to repent of their sins, and who disobeys the church, they're to be excluded from fellowship of the church community. Now, such an attitude often characterizes family life, church life, the wider life in society, much short of formal excommunication. We have an attitude of excommunication often in the way we treat others. Notice how we treat people with differing ideologies or different sense of what's right and wrong. There are some people of liberal persuasion who effectively write off those who hold to the traditional understanding of marriage and accuse them of bigotry and homophobia. And then we have people who accept traditional Christian morality about the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, and they will have no dealings with those who are pro-choice. Effectively, both groups have excommunicated people who have opposite perspective and beliefs. And these examples reflect psychological and emotional excommunication we assign to each other when we encounter views we find repugnant. Or what may be more serious, don't we often feel a hostility toward people who have hurt us, hostility that we nurse? And the more we nurse it, it becomes deeper and builds up a wall between us and other people. So what does Jesus really teach about excommunication then? Verse 17, chapter 18 of Matthew is where you find this. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. And of course, Gentiles, non-Jews, and tax collectors who worked for the hated Roman oppressors, they were outside the community of Israel. And so that's what Jesus is referring to. There are certain cases where someone who is so recalcitrant and so negative and creating so much havoc in the community that that person has to be excluded for the good of the community. But let's not stop there. What would this statement mean to Matthew, who wrote the gospel in the 70s or 80s of the first century? Matthew, who at the end of his gospel reports Jesus' final instructions to his disciples when he says, go out to all the Gentiles and evangelize them. In the same gospel, Jesus shows particular concern, particular interest in reaching out to a tax collector named Matthew. In other words, even though an arrogantly sinful member of the church who refuses to repent is to be excluded from the fellowship of the community, aren't we supposed to continue to reach out to that person in imitation of a Jesus who so regularly sought out tax collectors and sinners that he was accused of being their friend? This was one of the big accusations against Jesus by the Pharisees. This man welcomes sinners and tax collectors and eats with them. The Pharisees thought that was a scandal. But that's what Jesus did. He had a passion for reaching the lost, reaching those who were outside the community of Israel. This interpretation is supported by what follows in the next section of chapter 18 of Matthew, when he talks about the ongoing forgiveness of a brother or sister who sins. Remember that question Peter asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? Peter thought he was being very generous. And then in response, Jesus tells this extravagant story about a king who settled accounts with his servants. And one servant owed the king millions of dollars. And the servant begged the king for forgiveness, and the king wiped out the debt. And so the lesson that Jesus draws, that famous line, forgive not seven times, but 70 times seven times. In other words, an unlimited number of times. Now, this doesn't mean we're supposed to put up with abuse. Obviously not. Jesus himself says there are situations where a person has to be excluded from the family of the church, because he's causing so much harm to the family, to the church. But even in those situations, Jesus is certainly indicating that we have to relentlessly pursue the repudiated brother or sister, not just wait for them to come around, but to always be looking for the opportunity of trying to bring that person back, to reconcile, to heal the relationships. So what's the conclusion? We have to maintain a tension between A, being a watchman like Ezekiel, who's told by God to call out people's sins, and B, reaching out to the sinner, as indicated by Jesus' approach to the Gentiles and the tax collectors. If it comes down to serious divisions between ourselves and others, we need to pray for the grace of Jesus' attitude towards the Gentiles and the tax collectors. In this way, we can avoid what Jesus defines as an unforgivable sin, which is to be unforgiving.